Enjoy the film.
You want butter on your popcorn?
The theater will be ready in a second.
Now watch this. When I show him the picture, who is this? I'm Kyle McClinsky.
No.
Who is this the picture of? We've practiced this.
Okay.
He knows it.
Come on.
Kyle McClinsky.
No.
Okay. Kyle. All right.
Donald Sutherland. It's Donald Sutherland.
Holy shit. Oh.
Did you hear that?
Holy
he
shit.
Recognizes okay. Donald Sutherland's
well,
face.
That was so
That's,
good.
All right.
He's learning.
All right.
That was lateral.
What do you mean?
That was a pretty lateral move.
That was a pretty he got another name.
I mean, it's one other name.
It's still progress, right?
Right.
Well,
I don't know. I feel like my clone hasn't been learning at the speed of the other clones in town.
That's good. That's really good. That's really good, Kyle.
That's something.
Do either of you guys want to try the souffle that my clone made?
Sure.
Sure.
It's not that good. I mean, you can try it. I mean, it was fine.
Wow, that is.
Oh my god.
That is a gorgeous souffle. I got
it. It looks good. I mean,
They're little right? individual ones.
They're like bite-sized souffles.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could try. You just go ahead and take a bite.
Mm. Oh, wow. Oh, melts in your mouth. Not in your hands.
Yeah. But
so
yeah, I mean,
fluffy,
that Donald Sutherland thing is pretty cool. I mean,
what was that?
It took like
Sutherland?
Three tries.
Oh, that's right. Your clone, Kyle, your clone said, yeah. This is.
You already
can I get
forgot?
The recipe for this? What? Forget what? May I get the recipe for this souffle? This is astounding. This is jaw dropping. Not while I'm chewing, mind you.
Yeah, you wouldn't want any of it to fall out. Yeah, they're pretty good. They're pretty
wow.
good.
And did he make this vanilla sauce on top?
It's all from scratch. Like,
wow.
He didn't even use a recipe.
From scratch, you say? Kyle, from scratch.
Oh, great. From scratch.
Wow. Kyle, your clone's walking into the wall over and over.
Clone Kyle. God damn it.
Oh,
one second.
This is amazing.
Come on.
Oh.
No, oh. This way. You gotta come
now
this
he's
way.
Turning in circles.
That's yeah, he's oh, he cannot
Look
figure
me.
That out.
He's bending over.
Kyle.
He's squatting down on the floor right now. Was he trying to poop there? He was just squatting on the floor.
Yeah, when he gets startled or upset, he just kind of he tries to get as small as possible.
Oh, turtles.
Oh,
okay,
turtle. Gotcha.
Yeah, he's kind of got a turtle thing going on.
Well, goodness.
But you saw I showed him a picture of Donald Sutherland and he
right.
said
And he
His
knew
name?
That it was Donald Sutherland.
He
or,
knew.
That's,
at the very
that's
least,
very good.
He saw a picture and knew to say Donald Sutherland.
That still, he's still learning. My clone is learning. I will admit, I don't feel like he's making the same amount of progress as all the other clones in town. I mean, like, shops and stuff are back up and running.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
are, the clones are able to do jobs now and hold
yeah,
conversations
yeah, yeah.
with each other at least.
It's really fascinating. The clones kind of have their own language between each other now.
Yeah, it's like English adjacent.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like English if you were a non-English speaker mimicking English.
Yeah, like what like The Sims.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very simly.
It's super similar.
Simlishy. It's very cool to see. It's very cool to see. And yeah, it's kind of interesting to see that alongside Lispish, which has been a bit more prominent in this area since the lizard people started coming in and kind of
right.
living around this area. Ever since Mark brought over that big old ship over to the island. To the Timberdale Island.
Right. We have never been more culturally diverse than we are now, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that, yeah.
And I gotta say, I have never more had my freedoms threatened.
Oh, that's the stance you're gonna take on this?
I feel like the more amount of people that are around me who are different than me, they're just threatening. That's what they are. Now, even though they are not giving me any reason to think that way.
Uh-huh.
I know that they're threatening me.
They've been nothing but kind to me.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of evidence or reason to believe that, but I mean, you know.
Just because there is no evidence does not mean it's not 100% true. In fact, the very fact that there is no evidence to support this theory means it is true. You want to know why?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because.
That's not an argument. That's nothing.
Well, that means agree nothing. To disagree.
That also means nothing.
I mean, to be fair, you've always hated the lizard people. You've always had an issue with them.
Right, for no
Ooh,
reason.
Those scalies.
Yeah, that's right. You created your own slurs and everything.
Okay, you really should watch that one. I mean, they're doing a lot better than we are right now.
But how's your clone been doing, Greg? I feel like we haven't seen clone Greg around for a bit.
Oh, yeah. He and Juan have been... They had been getting real chummy.
Really?
Yeah, they...
Well, the clone of Juan, I assume.
Yeah, yeah, the clone of Juan and clone of Greg, they've been getting real chummy. Like, all I want to do is hang out with clone Greg, but he doesn't have the time for me, apparently. And I'm like, hey, clone Greg, let's go down to the creek and throw rocks. And he just looks at me, and his eyebrows do this thing, do this one of these things.
Oh, he scowls at you.
They go off in their own little world or whatever. But you know, I'm happy for them. Yeah, yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for them.
Sure.
I'm happy that they have somebody. What do you think happened to Juan?
The real Juan?
Not that I care. I mean,
what do you think happened to everybody?
Yeah, I assume the same thing that happened to
everybody,
the rest of
too.
The citizens.
What happened to everybody? What did happen to everybody?
We never found them.
I mean, to be honest, as the clones in town have been evolving and becoming more functional, the town is starting to feel sort of weirdly normal again. I mean, we're still an island, and there are more lizard people around, but... Like I said, the shops are open. There's a librarian again.
Do you think this was Tommy's plan all along?
I don't know. And where Tommy just he just up and left town.
He just up and left.
I mean, he pulled a lever and now we're an island. And I mean, if that wasn't the plan, what was?
Who's to say?
That's a very good question.
We may never know. Maybe we should just be at peace with never wrapping up that particular storyline for us.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I might still question it.
Feel free. You just might not get any answers.
Yeah. You know what? I like my clone, so it's whatever.
Should we start the podcast? We did watch a movie this week.
We did do
you
that.
You bet your sweet Bippy.
Oh, my Bippy. Welcome to Breaker Myth the Cineplex. My name is Kyle McClinsky.
My name is Greg Basil.
I'm Henry Prime Harrison.
Hi.
We know.
Oh,
yeah, we know.
And he is
and
just
him too.
He is also here.
Kyle, I know you think he's learning, but you really got to stop bringing him to their recording sessions cuz
yeah.
I wanted to show you that Donald
Have you thought about finding a sitter or something?
A sitter for my clone?
Yeah, clone sitter.
I mean, he's a grown adult. I guess I would need to find the clone of a clone that's capable of looking after another clone?
Yeah, they gotta have one of those, like a dog sitter, but could also watch. Hey, a dog sitter could watch your clone.
Don't compare him to a dog.
Oh, I'm really not doing that. I'm just saying.
You're right. He's much less obedient.
I wouldn't insult dogs in
he's
such
learning.
A way.
he's a slow learner, but I don't know. I'm fond of it.
Kyle McClonsky.
Kyle McClonsky. That would have been a much better term had we coined it
well
beforehand.
No time like the present.
Kyle McClonsky it is.
I doubt he'll remember.
Hey, Kyle. You're Kyle McClonsky now.
I'm Kyle McClonsky.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
No, we tried.
I don't. Right. We, yeah.
Some things stick, some things don't, you know.
Yeah, he'll get there.
Anyway, welcome to Break Room at the Cineplex.
Welcome to this episode of the podcast.
Here we are.
And if you don't know what's going on, welcome anyway.
Don't worry.
We won't explain it.
But that's okay. You know what? Yeah. We just take what we got and we move on. And so we're going to review a movie like we do every week.
Every goddamn week.
Right now.
Yeah, this week we watched sort of a classic zombie horror film
called The Infectioning.
That's what it's called.
The Infectioning.
With a Z. You know how they sometimes like to include a Z in there? There's a Z in The Infectioning.
Instead of the T.
Yeah.
It's Infectioning.
Infectioning.
It has that you know, je ne sais quoi that you know you look for in a movie.
It certainly does, but je ne sais pas if I know what it is.
You're in the ballpark on that one.
Sorry. Parlez-vous en français?
Nos.
Well, let's get to the movie.
Now, the reason why we're being so continental, so French, is because this was a French film. French film.
Yes.
It was.
It took place in Paris.
But it was made in the U.S.
Yeah. Now, the reason why they... Because it says that it was made in Paris.
Right.
But it was made in Paris, Texas.
Exactly.
That was the workaround. So it's a bunch of Southern people trying to speak French, but we watched it with subtitles, English subtitles.
Because, I mean, I bet even people who speak French would be pretty much out of luck on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those accents.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Because the main character, Hugh Laurie, mm-hmm. He plays a Texan who plays a Parisian.
Yes.
And it's very strange. It's very strange.
I love me some Hugh Laurie, but that was weird.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, I think most of the actors were possibly even local. I think that this was made on a pretty shoestring budget, except they were able to get Hugh Laurie. So he matched whatever dialect they were trying to do. So, you know, they've got their Southern accents trying to speak
French.
He's
very good.
Hugh Laurie is very good.
So anyway, we get a sweeping shot of the Eiffel Tower, and we zoom down and smash cut, we get to a storefront.
And it's very clear that opening shot was a bit of stock footage, because the next shot did not match up in the color grading and the aspect ratio.
No.
The rest of the film is in 4:3, which is just, you don't see a lot of that anymore.
You don't see much of it. So we get Hugh Laurie, who is the shop owner here, and he owns a shoe shop.
Yeah.
And the shop says Les Shoes,
with a Z.
With a Z. A woman comes into the store. Ding 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 ding. Pardon, shop owner. And he looks up from a little cobbling. Little cobbling station there. He's fixing up a shoe.
He's cobbling a shoe. Yeah.
And he looks up. Oh, zut alors, a customer. She comes over.
This is no Payless. This is no Foot Locker. This is a shoe store where he hand makes every shoe.
He hand makes these.
So he
sneakers.
Starts measuring her foot. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's busting out. He's measuring every part of her foot, and she's like, whoa. I am not here for me. I am here for
my lover.
My husband. And he says, husband.
Husband.
Where else could somebody... It is no surprise to me that someone so lovely is already snatched up from this world.
The accents are a fucking mess. But they commit to them.
And another man walks in.
Yeah,
and he's a large man.
He's a very large man, and he comes in. Hello, wife of mine, where are you?
And he's got on a nice striped black and white shirt and a big cowboy hat.
He's got cowboy boots on. He's got six shooters,
but he's waving around a baguette, so we know he's French.
Yeah.
Listen, they dealt in stereotypes. It's not us.
It's not us. No. We love the French. Francophiles we are.
So he puts his baguette on the counter and he says, you say you allow the baguettes in here? And he's like, yeah, you just leave it by the door.
Put it in the baguette bin. We have it by the door for when people bring in their baguettes.
Nobody's going to confuse their baguette with another person's baguette.
No.
This is Paris.
And So Hugh Laurie's character, whose name is Claude, he says, welcome to my store. My name is Claude. I make the shoes. and the lady speaks up and she says,
Allô there, Claude. My name is Genevieve. I am here to find shoes for my lover, husband.
And husband looks over and he says, "Hello, my name is Osband.
I am her lover." Right at this moment, the news flashes on the TV that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Oh, have you seen the reports? There's been some virus going around. It's okay, I changed the channel." And he flips over and there's some soap opera going on.
"There is no virus. It's some liberal bullshit.
They say you wear a mask."
"We know wear
masks. In my shoe store."
"We wear shoes."
Which is sound logic, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he starts measuring the husband, or yeah, Osband's foot.
Osband's
he starts
foot.
Measuring the lover's foot. I'm sorry.
He's like, "Oh, wow, big feet. You know what that means. Big shoes. Okay. We make you good shoes.
They cost extra. It's more material."
And so Genevieve says to Claude, she says,
"Oh, merci. I do hope that these shoes will not cost too much because I am not a rich woman."
And he says, "Well, they will only cost about $14. So she says, "Husband, you stay here. I must go out to the car to find me $14. So she leaves.
The moment she steps outside, we see her exit the store. Claude and Osband are in the foreground. And as soon as Genevieve gets outside, she's immediately tackled by someone.
She just drops out of the window.
Claude and Osband don't notice. They don't see this. They're talking about how big the shoes are going to be and how mm-hmm. the larger the shoe, the more expensive, the better
business.
"I would like
you to big, very big piece."
They say, "Everything's bigger in Paris."
He's twirling his guns.
He's got six of them. Six shooters. My
six
God.
Six shooters. Juggling them.
Leave some shooters for the rest of us. Am I right?
Goodness.
So she's outside struggling with this person on top of her.
Yeah. She's in a fight for her life.
And this guy on top of her, he's like, he's gory and he's all beat up. It looks like he's been, you know, in some like
looks
a
like
car
he's been
accident
some makeup
or something.
Class or a car accident.
And his jaw unhinges and he starts to throw up into her mouth.
Yeah.
Mm. Ugh. So graphic. So disgusting. Her eyes roll back in her head. Mm-hmm. And she foam starts to come out,
mm-hmm.
and then they roll back, and they're all bloodshot, and they look like the other dude who's on top of her's eyes.
Yeah,
they're zombies. All right, yeah, very clearly,
they're zombies. They're zombies. All right, and Claude looks outside the door, and he says to his band, he's like, "So these shoes, they would you like them in a specific color? Oh my goodness, look at that!" And they both run to the door, and Osband, he's like, "Ah, no, my lover, Genevieve!" And he runs to her, and Claude grabs him by the scruff of by his collar real quick, and he's like, "No, do not go out into the street. We must stay inside." And he pulls him back in, and they lock the door, because they can see out in the street, it's just a mob of French zombies and French people fighting for the lives that the French people have.
That's a good way of putting that, Greg.
Yeah, they're a little roundabout, but I got there. And they're running around, and zombies are throwing people off buildings, and they're tipping cars over, and they're kicking dogs. So Hugh Laurie and so Claude and Osband, they jump back into the shop, lock the door, mm-hmm. and just then this other woman, she comes to the door, and she's slamming on the door, and she's like, let me in.
So they let her in.
Yeah.
Like, oh, by all means.
Oh yeah, that's fine.
Chivalry isn't dead. It's just zombified.
You shouldn't be out in the street anyway.
And yeah. She kind of backs into the store, and when she turns around, she's wearing a mask, and she's like, "Neither of you are wearing masks." And Cloud goes into this whole thing, rant again.
He's like, I can barely breathe with the mask on, and I can't. That it's all just some bullshit. It's my freedom, my French freedom, to endanger others.
And this woman who's entered the store with the mask, she's like, "Ah, oh, so the only way to prevent the vomit from getting in your mouth is to wear this mask." And he's like, I don't care.
I just listen on people.
When I wear the mask, I cannot breathe.
My oxygen level's in my blood.
And Osband is sort of like to the side, looking kind of uncomfortable. I get the feeling like he's willing to wear a mask, but now he feels like he doesn't want to speak up because Claude is so vocal about this.
I mean, he just saw his lover get her mouth thrown up into, and then she lumber down the street to find someone else to throw up in their mouth. You know, he's had a rough day. I mean, he's
there's got
to
be some shock going on.
He's had a rougher day than Claude, that's for sure.
Yeah, geez. Yeah.
This guy was just trying to peddle some shoes.
And he didn't see his lover get vomited into.
No, he had no emotional attachment to this woman.
None whatsoever. Aside from trying to make a sale. So this new woman, she has her mask and she's like, my name is Eloise, and I am here. I am so scared for my life. My little child was running around outside, and I was watching from the car turning German.
She starts turning German, which is the first stage of the virus.
Right, and they're like, did you get vomit in your mouth? And she says, no, I have not. There's no vomit in my mouth. And she starts to vomit.
She starts
in her
to
mask.
Vomit.
She was lying to them.
Right.
And just then as her eyes start to roll back, Cloud smacks her head with a baguette. Take that.
It makes that nice crunchy noise.
Ooh, yeah.
That is a fresh
baguette. Ooh, that was good bread. Good bread that. Mm. And
it kills
she,
her.
She's dead. She falls to the ground and Osband.
Her neck snaps all the way around 360 degrees and she falls to the floor dead.
Oh.
I will say, like, this film made on a shoestring budget, as I said, but they
pun
clearly
intended.
Oh yeah, because of the shoe store. But they clearly put the money all into the gore effects. I mean, when you make a zombie film, it makes sense that you're gonna.
It was very good effects,
and they got Hugh Laurie
and yes. Hugh Laurie, of course.
Wow. So she falls to the ground, and Osband, he starts freaking out. He starts hyperventilating. He starts dropping his six shooters, trying to juggle, and he's dropping them.
He's panic juggling at this point.
And Cloud is like, you see, you wear the mask, you still get the zombie.
You still get the zombie.
Is crap. It's crap.
It's crap. It's crap.
I never wear masks.
I never wear a mask for anything. Halloween? Oh, you better believe I'm not wearing a mask.
And I'm not a zombie. Look at me.
Look at me. And so Cloud, he tells husband, he smacks his face and he's like, get a hold of yourself, man. We need to go to the walk-in clinic. It's the other side of town. We need to go to the walk-in clinic. we need to go to the walk-in clinic because there they have a big, huge safe where we can climb into it and be safe from all of these zombies. Let's suit up! And so they start doing this little montage. There's this little montage of them trying on shoes. Cloud's helping Osband into sneakers, and he's like, "No, these ones do not fit. These ones don't look right. They don't go with your pants."
And then he starts ripping the leather off of the other shoes, and he starts to fashion body armor.
Yeah,
out of the leather, and he makes it for both of them. But he leaves their heads and faces uncovered because he doesn't believe in that.
Right, it's a matter of principle.
He just leaves openings in the nose and the mouth.
So yeah, the upper part of it's like a cowl. It's like Batman's cowl.
Yeah,
where the only thing that's exposed is the mouth and nose. So we get this great shot as they kick open the front door of the shop and they step out, and we've got Osband juggling what six shooters he hasn't already dropped, and we've got Cloud brandishing a baguette.
Yeah,
which is two, spattered with blood.
He's got one baguette in his hand, and he's got one strapped on his back.
He cocks the baguette like a shotgun.
He makes that sound with his mouth.
He's got a bandolier of breadsticks.
So they kick open the shoe door, and they start sauntering down the street.
Sauntering down.
Meandering.
Yeah.
They're casually walking.
It's a casual walk, yeah. I don't know what kind of direction they were given, but they were just a jaunty stroll.
I think the set was pretty small, so they couldn't have them move too quickly or they'd run out of sidewalk.
That makes sense. That makes sense. They did every single time they would walk by a storefront, it was the same store, just with a different name over it.
Yeah, it was always the shoe store, just with a new sign.
Mm-hmm. The shoes were still in the windows. So they walk by Le Dentist, they walk by Le Grocery Store, they walk by...
Le Pele shoes.
The Peles. And Claude looks up at that and he says, "These are my rivals. Their shoes are not good.
If you want to pay less, you get them worse shoes. It's like wearing a mask.
Don't get me started."
So they're moving their way down the street, and all around them there are maskless people vomiting onto people with masks who are able to avoid getting the vomit in their mouths and fight them off and then keep running, get tackled by another vomit. You know, it's pretty much chaos. And as the maskless, as they're known in this film, start approaching Cloud and Osband, they're forced to start fighting them off, which leads to a pretty corny action sequence.
Pretty corny, kind of fun. Yeah. It was kind of fun. It was kind of fun seeing Hugh Laurie do some what I'm assuming he thinks are pretty cool fighting moves. It was kind of, because Hugh Laurie's not a young man anymore.
Right, and part of it is just how it's shot. You know, action sequences have to be shot a very specific way or choreographed a very specific way. This felt like the camera's locked down in one spot, and they were just making it up as they go along.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Osband was making sound effects with his mouth.
He tried to do like a leg sweep, and it was slow motion. The zombie jumped over it.
The zombie tripped on its own feet.
Right.
More so.
One zombie entered frame and then like stopped and then kind of backed out, realized it wasn't their cue yet. Yeah. Then came back in again.
Looked in the camera,
tripped,
like
fell.
Right in the camera. Walked on screen and came back in.
And backed off.
It said sorry!
And it's probably like a 3 or 4 minute long shot, you know?
Right, just a static shot of the shoe store and a fight sequence outside of it. But it's not the shoe store, it's like a bakery or something.
Yeah, this time. It's a bakery with shoes in the window.
La bakery. Yeah. And so they fend off all of these zombies. Hugh Laurie's baguette is broken in half, so he throws it down and he pulls out the other one. Mm-hmm. Osband, he's reloading his six shooters, and they continue down. They continue down the way. They run into
an
alleyway.
Oh yes,
right.
They run into the alleyway of the clinic.
The alleyway of the clinic, and they're like, "Okay, this is the clinic. Now the front is blocked off by all of these zombies, so we have to go around the back where there is a ladder that goes up to the roof, and we're going to climb over the roof, and we're going to go into an air vent." And we're going to go climbing our way through there. And Osband is like, "Screw your plans. They're stupid anyway." And he runs around to the front.
Yeah, he pushes Claude over and runs around to the front of the clinic.
And he gets swarmed.
He gets swarmed, and he's juggling his six shooters. He's shooting. He's popping off shots.
Clearly, this actor knew how to juggle, and they wanted to use it at every opportunity.
At any opportunity and every
six at the same time. I mean,
that's
come on,
pretty great.
And they're guns.
It's pretty impressive. Yeah. It's quite the skill, a very specific skill that he has,
and they capitalized on it.
Absolutely.
Do you think that was on his resume or something?
I have a feeling this was like in the audition. They were like, "Oh, it says you can juggle.
Can you show us?
Prove it." Yeah.
They just handed him what props they had.
They're like, here.
But anyway, so he goes down, vomit in the mouth.
Genevieve!
Is the one vomiting in his mouth.
Yes.
At this point, Claude's already on the roof. I mean, he's already climbed the ladder. He gave up the moment he got pushed. He was like, oh.
He's smoking a cigarette and he's like, I smoke this for you, my friend. You will not be forgotten. And he flicks the cigarette away.
You could have been a great sale today.
your shoes would have been my opus, my magnum opus.
Or at least pretty big.
$14. So he starts to climb into the vent on the top of the roof. Mm-hmm. And he's clambering along and he's like, oh, so dirty, it's gross. And he gets to the end of the vent and kicks the bottom out and drops down, and
he lands in the middle of the clinic, and he's greeted by several folks in lab coats, and they're like, oh, intruder!
He's not wearing a mask.
And they tackle him.
He's gonna vomit on us. Yeah.
they tackle him and they slap a mask on him because he's screaming and he's like, no, I don't need a mask. I'm not infected. I'm okay. And they get this mask on him.
Yeah, they get three or four.
Three or four masks on him.
They're not taking any chances.
No. He says, who are you? He's pointing his baguette at everybody and everybody's hands are up. They're like, hey man, whoa, hey man, calm down.
No accents whatsoever from them.
No. Like, hey, calm down now, you fella. Calm down. No accents whatsoever. No discernible accent at all. Hey, you calm down now, feller.
This town ain't big enough for the seven of us. All right, now. Go on, get. And he's pointing. He's holding his baguette to like keep him at a distance. He's like, you cannot put. He starts to try to take off the mask, like, and it's like on there tight. And they're like, don't you take that mask off? All right,
that's there for your safety as well as our own.
And he's like, what do you mean? You do not know anything. And they're like, listen, all right, we're gonna walk you through the science here.
And they do.
Yeah, they. I mean, they bring up a flowchart, diagrams. I mean, they walk them through how vomit gets out of people's mouths into other people's mouths.
They play a little video about germs.
It's pretty basic, but by the end of this, Claude seems to understand. He really does. Mm-hmm. He's not fighting the mask anymore. He's down to just the one mask. He took the other three off, but he's got one mask on and he's not taking it off. And he's like,
he's saying, oh, I understand. And I can breathe. Granted, I have to take some deeper breaths. I have to take breaths that fill up my whole lungs and my diaphragm, which is better for me in the first place.
But we are safe. You are safe. I am safe. It seems like it's not that bad. And they're like, yes, but here's what's bad, all right? Let me tell you what. There's this radio station. And they're broadcasting all this anti-mask propaganda, and it's making this zombie virus spread. The AM radio, we got to get rid of it. All right.
Now our plan is to go up to that radio station and tear it down. But the problem is, we don't have enough shoes. You see, we only had enough safety equipment for our bodies except for our feet.
And he looks down and on their feet are just their tissue boxes that they took all the tissues
boxes,
out of.
Tissue boxes, plastic bags.
But that's not going to get them all the way to the radio station. It's up on that hill outside the clinic.
He's like, give me a moment. Let me do my work. And he starts to strip off his leather armor. And yes. He's cobbling hard.
He's cobbling and he's cobbling like he's never cobbled before.
It was like a medical surgical montage. It was like that intensity.
Right. He's there with a little hammer and he's got all the surgeons, all the doctors in lab coats sewing it all together.
And he's got an orderly dabbing the sweat away from his forehead.
And we see the sun is starting to set outside the clinic. It's about to be nightfall soon and they're going to have to make this journey in the dark.
Or wait till tomorrow, but they're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that. I mean, no, there's no time to waste.
This broadcast is going 24 hours a day. They got to get to it now.
Mm-hmm. So they do.
Smash cut, they're at the radio station.
clearly, the budget was running low.
We get a sweeping shot, the same one as before, of the Eiffel Tower. And then they're at the radio station.
The same stock footage, which is daylight.
From daytime. Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly, they didn't have the budget for another quote unquote fight sequence for as good as that first one was.
And they tell us all about it. They say, wow, that was amazing. I can't believe that you fought off all of those guys by yourself, Dr. Roundstein. And he's like, and I can't believe that Nurse Karen fought off all of those zombies by herself.
And they push open the door of this radio station.
They open the screen door first, and then the inner door.
And then they kind of file in. It's really dark and dreary, and they're like, now what in tarnation? What are we looking at in here?
And they hear from the back room this muffled voice shouting angrily into a microphone about the masks and how it's taking away their freedom and... Mm-hmm. And that they should masks never saved anyone.
And how the mayor supposedly caught the virus and then went to the hospital and was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just spouting all this stuff. And Claude, he turns to everyone and he says,
shh, we must be very quiet. I hear at the end of the hallway.
And there's one door at the end of the hallway with a little light coming out underneath it.
And they get to the door, and Claude turns to the medical personnel, and he starts a little countdown,
3, 2, 1,
and they burst in,
mm-hmm.
and they are greeted by a room full of zombies,
packed to the walls,
mm-hmm.
to the ceiling,
and none of them are wearing shoes.
None of them are wearing shoes. Claude screams.
So many potential sales.
So many customers.
And they hear, what's all this? And from the sound booth is one person not infected, surrounded by zombies who have little note cards and everything. And one of them's got headphones on, and an uninfected. He's at the microphone.
They're singing. We are the children. What's that song?
Yeah, we are the children.
We are the world. We are the world. They're singing "We Are the World" in unison.
It is chilling. It is haunting.
Mm-hmm.
It is an a cappella rendition. It almost sounds like a hymn. There's like these weird choir sounding.
They're ringing bells.
Weird. Yeah, bells. A church organ is there.
It's a cappella except for the bells and the
bells and the church organ and the drums and the electric guitar. Except for all of that, it's a cappella and it is chilling.
It's like a cappella, but there's music behind it. You know?
Yeah,
right. You know,
a cappella with instruments.
That yeah. brand of a cappella.
Yeah,
but yeah, they're all wearing these like robes, no shoes.
Right,
and they're all clearly some sort of organized entity, some sort of cult that is worshiping this guy and helping him to produce
this
his radio show.
Who stands up? He's riled up by this. He says, "Now hold on now," and we get this another fight sequence
mm-hmm.
with this chilling background music.
Oh yeah,
and this guy, he's got the biggest cowboy boots I've ever seen.
Huge.
Probably too big for his feet. I mean, these are probably size 16s. I mean, gosh darn. I mean,
shucky darns. Is he? I don't want to project onto this man, but it seems that he is compensating for something.
Right, because he's got a really tiny dick that we see later.
Right. Oh, geez. I forgot that was his dick because it was so tiny.
Right. So he starts trying to kick him with the cowboy boots. They're backing up. They're backed into a corner. He's like goose stepping at them basically. Claude is back fending him off with the baguette. And the doctors are behind him like, oh my god, what are we gonna do? And Claude's like, I've got this. I know what to do. And he rolls his baguette. The man jumps over, and while he's in the air, Cloud, he does an uppercut and punches him right in the seat of his pants, which rips them open,
exposing his dick, penis.
Lenny Kravitz style.
And they fall to the ground in tatters. And this man is so defeated that he shrinks away.
He just shrivels up and shrinks away.
He does like a whirlwind. He spins super fast and kind of stretches lengthwise and then just evaporates, like explodes.
There were a lot of stock special effects thrown on top of this.
And there's just his cowboy boots spinning on the ground, and then they slowly come to a stop.
A little smoke coming out of them. They put a little dry ice in them.
And Hugh Laurie picks him up, and he says, these are magnificent. I can make 15 pairs of shoes with these.
Sells them for $20, $25.
So he starts cobbling.
He starts cobbling, and he's making shoes, and he's throwing these shoes onto zombies' feet.
Which cures them.
Which cures these zombies. What the hell?
He slaps him on there. He's like, I am cured. Where are you? Genevieve, where are you? Because it's Osben from before.
It's Osben.
He's there. Yeah.
And so is Genevieve. Genevieve jumps into her lover husband's arms.
And they're reunited, everybody, and he starts to broadcast on the AM radio, and he just starts to tell everybody about the powers of shoes and masks.
The powers of shoes and masks.
We get a slow fade out.
A slow fade out, and then a slow fade back in, and we see Cloud walking on the street, which is just a few shots of him going past the same storefront.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And every single time he walks through the frame, he kind of tips his hat to a couple walking by. Every so often, there's just another person who's like, hello, Claude. Hello. 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 And he finally gets to his shoe stop, to the shoe shop. He stops at the shoe shop.
Right. He makes a stop at the shoe shop.
And he's unlocking the door. And from behind him, he hears, Claude. And there's Genevieve and Osband. Cloud, how amazing it has been to see your rise through the ranks of public office all the way to le presidente.
You put Payless Shoes out of business. It's a miracle.
I spit on the grave of Payless Shoes.
And he breaks a baguette in half, and they share a baguette together.
Yeah, and almost this like communion style.
Yeah, he's literally breaking bread.
Is he supposed to be considered a messiah at this point?
Is he Jesus?
I don't know.
Is Hugh Laurie Jesus?
Is Hugh Now, I have no doubts that Hugh Laurie is a god amongst men.
Oh.
But Jesus!
But specifically Jesus!
I don't know. He says, may this bread always be broken in remembrance of the... of what we went through to put shoes on the feet of everyone across this great country of France, which is where we are. And Genevieve and Osben say,
Vive la France!
Vive la France! And we get a shot of a map of Paris and a little, like a reverse infections type animation of just shoes.
Spreading
through
the continent.
And then the credit sequence is pretty cool. They had like credits. The animations of the shoes and all that sort of stuff going on.
The infectioning.
The infectioning.
The infectioning.
Because the T in the is also a
Z. A Z.
Yeah.
The infectioning. Very good. So very good.
That was the film.
There you go.
That was the film.
That was something.
So I'm just going to say that I feel like the message of the film got a little muddy.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, it seemed for a while like it might be some sort of metaphor of some kind for, you know, your guess is as good as mine.
We thought there was importance in the masks, and then it was the shoes that cured
it
people.
It became all about shoes. So was it pro-mask, or was it like they actually didn't do anything?
Yeah, what the hell? And why do we care about masks anyway? I mean, in Timberdale, we...
Right. This isn't relevant to anything going on in our town, on our island.
No. So what is this? What was this?
It was the infection.
Oh, boy.
8 out of 10 ya. For me.
Oh, my. Well, that's generous.
Yeah, I'm a generous guy.
You are, Henry.
You really are.
You are a generous guy.
Is there any more of that souffle?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, he's bringing in dessert now, actually. Oh, thank you. Thank you. What are
those, lemon bars?
They look like lemon bars.
Ooh, can I? Ooh, pass those over.
Okay. All right. Well,
ooh, let me get one of those.
There's a raspberry in here.
Ooh, raspberry
wow.
lemon
Whoa.
Bars.
Oh, wow. They're zesty. Not as, yeah, they're not as, that's really good. Wow. Okay.
That is good. That is delicious. Mm. And I would, oh.
Kyle McClonsky, how are you doing?
Well,
it's okay. McClonsky now.
Give him a lemon bar.
Do you want a lemon bar, Kyle? Here you go.
Oh, look at all. Look at wow. Oh, he's so happy.
He's putting it on his forehead. Oh, okay.
He is such a happy
He is a lemon bar, thing. That guy.
What a lemon bar. Well, while we're eating these wonderful lemon bars provided by wonderful Clone Henry, I would give this movie a four. Mm. And I'm only giving those points for Hugh Laurie because I love him so goddamn much.
Those 4 points are for Hugh Laurie.
Oh! Don't ever put words in my mouth.
So sorry.
Hugh Forey.
Hey, Hugh Forey. That's pretty good. I'll take those words.
Yeah. You know, during this film, I experienced Hugh Lauria. Or Hugh Forey. Sorry.
You're batting about 500 now.
Oh, more lemon bar.
No,
Kyle,
thank you.
How
thank
about you?
You?
What do you think?
Huh?
More?
No, huh? I'm good on lemon bars. Thank you. Oh, okay. I'm good.
He's jealous.
I'm good.
Speaking of Jell-Os, here's some Jell-O.
Wow, that's flan?
Look at
Holy
that.
Holy crap. Wow.
Wow.
Anyway, right. Before I dig
Kyle,
into
what,
this.
Yeah, well, what would your...
I give it a 3. No reason. I mean,
oh
well.
This is delicious.
I do appreciate this. Maybe this week, instead of trying to get Kyle to recognize pictures of Donald Sutherland, I'll maybe see if I can get him to make us some sort of food for next time. Would you guys be interested in that?
Whatever makes you happy. I will support whatever decisions you make.
Do you have any requests or anything?
You know,
for him not to do that. Asked and answered.
No, I meant for food, types of food.
Oh,
we could start with like boiled water cooled down.
Okay, room temperature.
Some
room
nice
temperature
chilled
water.
Boiled water.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, yeah. We'll make that a goal for next week.
You could even make an ice cube or something. That'd be cool.
Ooh.
Hey, there's a project.
I mean, I don't want him too close to the fridge. He keeps getting trapped inside.
That's true. Oh, that is true. So anyway, that was Z Infectioning.
If you would like to submit a film for us to watch, you can do so via email at cineplexpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at cineplexpodcast.
Do it. You know what?
If you want.
Add us on Facebook.
We do have a Facebook that's barely...
Do we have a Facebook?
It's barely active.
Shoot us a message on YouTube.
We don't have a YouTube, but...
Why don't you go check out our Instagram?
don't have one of those either.
Hashtag us.
Yeah.
On MySpace.
Make us one of your top 5 on MySpace.
Swipe us right on Tinder.
All right. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.